Now we're going to talk about Shmuel Shapira, the biography in the book of Sarah, the angel of Shmuel Shapira. Today we're going to talk about his birth. Admat Aidita Meshubachat Mishnot Kesle Yerushalmit, the good soil, the good land of Shchunat Knesset, like behind the Shuk, Aita Mekora Yenika was the first source of nourishing. The spiritual grazing and the beginning of the sprouting, fancy words here, right, of Shmuel Shapira. Tedzayin Adar, 16th of Adar, Tafresh Ayin Gimel, 673, exactly close to 101 years ago.
Almost 101 years ago.
Nolad Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchak v'rayato b'nam ha'shlishi Shmuel, was born to Rabbi Shlomo ben Yitzchak and his wife Sarah Chava, what his name was. The third son, his name was Shmuel. Over there, between the walls of the house, which was soaked, right, of purity, that's where he took his first steps. First steps to complete devotion, complete itkachut, to be holy. Yeah. Became along the years passed, and he became one of the greatest Oyvdim. Oyvdim is a term for people who serve Hashem. Right? People say go to work, and they're right. Whenever someone tells you go to work, say you're right. I'm under the field. That's where we work. You have to go to work. Under the field. To begin with, right, from the first day of his avodah, of his serving Hashem, his way was clear and paved and clear. Different than other Ovdim, that their life was full of ups and downs, and wait till I finish a sentence. It feels now related to this. Right, ups and downs, and all kinds of, should I do this, what's going on with me, yeah? Right, and then seven times the tzaddik falls and gets up. Shmuel's way was clear and paved to begin with. Not that he didn't have up and downs in life, he had a lot of up and downs. We've seen the story, very difficult the way his life was. Ela mishum shekvar mechatchila, to begin with, he signed every fall that he had. Every stumbling that he had was another step of Vinatos Hashem. He used every stumbling how to grow. That's what a person should do. It's all his faults. Every fall we have, every difficulty we have, is just an opportunity to grow. When someone things are going smoothly for him, he's not growing. Things might be going smoothly, but he's not growing. When things are hard for a person, then he's growing. When he, you know that, I don't know if people ride bikes to relate to this. When you ride a bike, you're going up a hill. There's a certain, it's hard, and sometimes it gets painful in the muscles, and then there's a level you pass that painful moment, and then you have power, you fly up, you have more kach. Kidu, you don't feel the pain anymore. It might be Charlie Rose afterwards, but there's a certain place where you transfer. It's the same thing with you have to do everything after any everything you do have to do with nefesh. What does that mean, still with nefesh? You have to do it a little bit more than we can. Break it. A little bit more. When you do it more, then that means you're growing. If you just do what you can, it's easy for you. If someone he learns 10 hours a day tomorrow, that's the easiest thing for him. Right? 10 hours is not nothing for him. He's not growing. He's learning a lot of Torah. It's a great thing, but it's not as it's not an avoid. It's not hard. It's not growing. Growing is when it's difficult. When things are difficult, that's when you grow. We learn it from a birth. From a birth, we learn this. A birth, when a lady gives birth. Yeah, when a lady gives birth, the more painful it gets, right? The contractions, the closer it is to the birth. That's how life is. Rabbeinu writes in Kutama, our life is like for everything in our life. The harder it is, the more you're growing, the more you're getting to a place where you're going to develop. You're going to have a, something will be born to you. You're going to grow up to another level. When it's not painful, there's no baby coming. Only when things are difficult for a person, that's when he grows. Therefore, let's stop groaning and complaining about our difficulties. Take a share for our difficulties, because that means that, that now we're growing. Now we have the opportunity to grow. Now we have it only when it's difficult. That's what Shmuel did, and that's where he grew. Not that he didn't have faults, but fault is not doesn't mean it's not good. That doesn't mean you're falling. You're growing now. What? Me'aviv lamad Rabbi Shmuel mishachar yadol gadol ma'afyanav. From Rav Shmuel, learned from his father already from being a little boy. The thing that said that this is he the most. How do you say that? What symbolized him the most? What was the most of Shmuel? What was he the most? He was the most bitul yashatzmi, the most not being, the most unexisting in the world. That was his main thing. His main thing is there's no eye. Like we said, the more you guard your eyes, the more you could work on your no, not to be focusing on the eye. That's what Shmuel was. Utchunat ha-nechba el ha-kelim. He learned from his father also this tchuna of hiding. Not to show yourself off. Tchuna she'afkai ma'shanim ikli ha-zayin ha-chashu biyoter v'mechamot ha-yeter. Echo mi tchuna? Where's the dictionary here? Tchuna.
It's a tchuna.
Characteristic,
maybe.
Tchina.
Tchina?
Right. No. One out of the top. Like that? Tchuna is a trait.
Trait?
Trait. Character.
Trait. Trait. Amida, yeah.
Right? It was a trait that was one of his main weapons, finding the Yetzirah, to hide himself, not to say anything. His power of modesty and hiding himself, they were recognizable on him, even when he was an Asha baby, a little boy. Chotot Zeira, his younger sister, Rabbanit Moris, she says a story about when he was a kid. He never demanded food. He never asked, even if everyone got he didn't eat, he never asked for food. And whenever the mother had to follow him to realize if he ate or not. Because he would never ask. Right? Otherwise, he would never cry if he was hungry or anything. And in those days, 100 years ago, there was not a lot of food in this city, this country, B'chal. So, psiot rishonot b'torah shebal, first steps in Torah shebal peh. When he grew up a little bit, Rav Shmuel began his studies in Talmud Torah Eitz Chaim, which is, I think, one of two Talmud Torah that were in Yerushalayim. There were two. It was Eitz Chaim, which is Purushim, Litvish. And then there was also Chai Olam, which is Hasidish. That was the only two Talmud Torah 100 years ago in Yerushalayim. There wasn't many kids here either. התשוקה לתורה הייתה מושרשת דמו והטביעה את חותמה על שנות ילדותו. The passion, the Torah, was rooted in his blood. And you could see it. When he was a kid, he was able to see it. And even in Eitz Chaim, which a lot of Doilei Olam learned in Eitz Chaim, his name was Delmasmit, the one who learned all the time. Shmuel used to sit in the corner alone, day and night, and it's all before Breslev. We're talking about before Breslev, and his heart striving to Hashem, right? Together learning Torah with the Hashem. Used to sit the Amel and toil hours and hours on Hashem's way on the Torah.
Was this the Litvish or the Hasidic place?
Litvish. He grew up, yeah, Litvish.
And how old was he at this time?
Well, he first went in when he was 3. And until he was 19, he didn't know anything about Bessie.
So this is what, about 5 or 6 now? We don't
know. I don't know. Nine, I don't know. When he was a kid, I don't know. Doesn't say the age. Umibatel? No, it was 5. Sometimes
they start learning more, 6, 7.
Umibatel kafa d'ahad bituyo rishon shekoch ha'dimyon ha'edut yud. In nullifying, like the dust of the earth, the first expression of the power of imagination, which is childness. The kid is a child, he has to play, he has to this. He nullified it completely, he didn't care for it. Like Amavadia. Didn't play. The friends used to play in the afternoon, in the recess. He used to call them, what's the point of playing? Let's sit and learn something. We'll get something out of it. Play, we don't get anything out of it. Gam apsiot ha-rishonot shelo besulam ha-etkatshut ayu melavot ba-ashraa ha-memad shel gavud ha-dat lefi edut ידיד ההורים ayam מולתק כך מתרשות סביבו עד שאפילו דרושו לא ימרים עולם הספר. Even in the beginning, right? He was so disconnected from anything around him. He didn't even lift up the head in the book. Just like that, all the time. Right? And also, he was so thirsty, he always tried, he was learning, not only what he learned in the cheder, he always added things, he wanted to know more and more and more, he always wanted to know. Yeah? He knew, there's a book, Bina Le'itim, which is about the calculations, how do you calculate the months, a full month, and people, how do you know Pesach, and you know, Pesach and Kippur's calculations. He was a kid, he knew it by heart. He wanted to know, is it the Torah? I want to know it. I want to know the Torah. Mishabat, right? He became a genius in that. Kshebagar me'at, once he grew up a little bit, he transferred from Talmud Torah, he went to Yeshiva, it's fine, we also have a Yeshiva. But there they considered him Achi Shaktan v'Achi Lamdan. Shaktan is someone who sits on his book and doesn't move. Sits on something, doesn't move. Lamdan is a learner, man, always used to learn. He used to write Chidush Torah, all the Chidush Torah used to write down. And slowly, slowly, even though he tried to hide himself, everyone realized there's a genius growing here, there's a God Vador growing here. Amash God Vador. Ken? על יכולת ההתמדה שגילה ביניהם מעידים חדרה וסזרי יהודים. The ability of his sitting and not moving from the book, his friends from those days, they testified. Okay. He used to sit until the small hours of the night. That means like early in the morning, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah? In boys' shul with his friends. That's how he used to be there. Unbelievable, huh? And toy over the door, breaking it. Yeah, breaking everything they have. Two. So I'm going to stop the story, but I want to add something. Don't discuss. It's true. We're not the Rosh Hashanah Shapira.
Yeah.
And our job is not to be the Rosh Hashanah Shapira. In Shemayim, when I come to Shemayim, they won't tell me, Yishai, why weren't you Rosh Hashanah Shapira? They say, Yishai, why weren't you Yishai? Okay? Each one will ask him, why didn't you, where did you get up to and who you are? Yeah. So why do I have to read these stories? What do I have to hear about this guy who served Hashem with all his might, all his bomb? It's what I told you before. There's no black and white. Not he's a tzaddik, I'm not. I can't. Another thing. Maybe I don't have to do what he has to do. Maybe I can't do what he has to do. It's not my job in the world. But like I said in the beginning, when I stopped. In the middle, we have to do more than we can to break the place where we say, no, up to here, more than this I cannot. That's lying to yourself. You could do more than this. The people saw in the Holocaust, people did crazy things to save their lives. Why? Because they ran for their lives. Things that jumped crazy amounts of things, whatever, all kinds of crazy things. You had to see with nefesh because there was their nefesh, or was their life. Right? They wanted to save. Same thing in Kedusha. Don't take Reb Shmuel and say, oh, it was Reb Shmuel and I can't. You don't need to be Reb Shmuel. You need to be you. Which means, what could you take out of Reb Shmuel? How do I serve Hashem with Mesirut Nefesh? How do, what's my Mesirut Nefesh? For one person, Mesirut Nefesh, they do half an hour, he boils it. For 20 minutes, is already big. So another 10 minutes. I can't. Only 20 minutes, I hardly do. So what? Do another 10 minutes. Try to do another 10 minutes. Force yourself to do another 10 minutes. Right? It's hard for you to learn another 10 minutes. Add another 10 minutes to it. It's hard for you to stay in Shmoneh Esrei longer. Break it. Show yourself that you can. And that's how you grow. I'm sure Shmuel didn't do it in one day. I'm sure. And maybe he's born in a holy house. He's born from birth. He's holy from birth. His parents are holy. He never saw a movie in his life. He never saw a lady in his life. He's a holy man. So he reached high levels. Sure, fine. We came from where we came from. But we have our level of Mesirut Nefesh, and that's what we have to gain out of the stories that we're going to say here. Said them? Each one will take, how did he go in the Mesirut Nefesh? That's what you learn from the story.